I'll be reading this morning in John 14:27, one verse of Scripture. John 14:27. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word, John 14:27. Jesus speaking, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Father, thank you for the Word of God. Ask you to anoint me this morning, Lord, with the power of the Holy Ghost, that I'd be able to speak the mind of the Lord, the Word of God to this congregation, and do good to the souls of men. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to speak for a few minutes this morning on the peace of God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Peace is the privilege of every child of God. Jesus promised to his disciples in my text, he promised peace to them. It is a heritage that's provided by Jesus. My peace I give unto you. Peace I leave with you. Jesus obviously intended from this text that his disciples be marked by the same peace that characterized his own life. My peace I give unto you. So that the same peace that characterized the life of Jesus was to be also in the life of his disciples. In the letters that Paul wrote to the New Testament churches and to the individuals in the New Testament, almost all of them include this greeting, "Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." This was a common greeting in the ancient world, but it took on a new meaning when Paul said it to the churches and to those individuals he wrote to, "Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." This was a peace not as the world giveth. It was not a peace that was dependent upon favorable circumstances of life, because life isn't always kind. But this peace was a peace that would continue in spite of adverse circumstances of life. It took on a brand new meaning. It was peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. It was a peace that sustained in the fiercest struggles of life. The world, the song says, didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Jesus said, "I'm giving this to my people. I'm giving to you my peace." It's the gift of Christ to the people of God. This peace possesses the heart. He said in my text, "Let not your heart be troubled." He says, "Neither let it be afraid." This is a peace, it's a treasure that's deposited in the hearts of God's people. It marks out the people of God. In a troubled world, there is a peace about God's people. It was this peace that was demonstrated in the hearts of the Moravians on board this ship that John Wesley was on that brought him to salvation. It was in a storm at sea that John Wesley observed this group of Moravians calmly singing hymns unto the Lord in the midst of the storm. He saw that there was a difference in these people. He feared death. And these people had peace in the face of death. And he lacked the peace of God, even though he was very religious and a missionary. He lacked the peace of God. But not long after observing the peace of God in the lives of these Moravian Christians, he found that peace in his Aldersgate experience. In our day, this day that we live in, the church often lacks this legacy that Christ left to us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Studies have shown that in a typical Christian congregation, 25% of the people will experience depression at some point in life. And 15% are presently taking antidepressants. This might startle you and it might not. But antidepressants are the country's most commonly prescribed medication. This is the most commonly prescribed medication, antidepressants. 2.3 million adolescents struggle with depression. Young people. It isn't just old people. It isn't just young people. It isn't just middle-aged people. People in all age brackets struggle with depression. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people 15 to 24 years of age. Young people are driven to despair. Driven to despair because of high divorce rates in the families, academic pressures, relationship disappointments. Depression in young people may be manifested in many different ways. Weight loss, significant weight gain, constant and vague physical complaints, loss of interest in friends, reckless behavior, losing control emotionally, shouting or crying, extreme sensitivity, easily offended, loss of energy, recurrent thoughts of death or suicide, feelings of worthlessness. This is the kind of depression that besets young people. Not just young people, but older people as well. And I think sometimes that young people and the elderly are some of those most subject to depression. Depression often drives people to seek solace in alcohol and illegal drugs, and they get just this temporary relief. But the drugs and the alcohol just tend to add to the problems. After they've come off the high, they're back in the lows again. And got to seek another high, get another buzz, trying their best to climb out of this deep, dark valley of depression. But I want to tell you something, brother. There's a different answer. There's an answer in the gospel. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Now I want you to understand that the peace of God is only available to those who have made peace with God. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:1, he said that we have peace with God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not made peace with God, then it's no mystery why that you don't have the peace of God. But when you make peace with God, then you can have the peace of God in your heart. But you got to first make peace with God. If you are a sinner, you are an enemy of God. The Bible says that he that would be a friend to the world is an enemy of God. The Bible says if while we were enemies, Christ died for us, reconciled us unto God, made peace between God and man through the blood of the cross. And so Jesus brought about peace between God and man. And it is by faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation brings peace with God. No longer are we at war with God. No longer are we rebelling against God. But when we surrender to Jesus and this wonderful salvation comes into our life, we have peace with God. And then after we have made peace with God, and you know the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is what it means to be part of the kingdom of God, is to have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Brother, it's wonderful to be part of this kingdom a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy, a peace that Jesus bequeathed to His people. The people of God can claim the peace of Christ. It's our inheritance. Jesus promised it to us. I'm leaving this to you. I'm giving this peace unto you. But how do we possess the promise of Christ? How is it that among the people of God, there are so many without the peace of God? How do we possess this inheritance, this heritage that Christ has promised unto us? Well, first of all, we possess it through prayer. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing. That phrase, be careful for nothing, means don't be anxious or worried about anything. Did y'all hear that? Anybody hear that? Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious or worried about anything. But in everything, how many things? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen to me now. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How do we possess this peace of God? We possess it through prayer, my brother. We go to God with those things that trouble us. He said, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. When your heart is troubled, hallelujah, the psalmist said, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. There's an answer to our troubles, and we carry our request to God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We sing a song sometimes, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. In everything, make your requests known unto God. Seek the face of God. God hears and answers prayer. We can possess the promise of peace through prayer. One of the songs we sing says, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus. Secondly, we possess the promise of peace through meditation upon the Lord and upon His Word. Guard the thoughts of your mind. You understand that Satan introduces thoughts into our mind, thoughts of defeat, thoughts of discouragement. Satan introduces thoughts into your mind. It was in the very beginning that Satan told this lie to Eve. He said, you shall not surely die. Led her into disobedience to God. Brought about this awful cloud of depression over the human race because of sin. Listening to the devil. You hear me? Listening to the devil. Eve, listen to the devil. You got to guard your mind, young folks. You got to guard your mind, moms and dads. You got to guard your mind, grandpa and granddad. Grandma and granddad. You got to guard your mind. And I just don't believe this positive thinking type of gospel in a sense. But in another way, there is a way to think. And the Bible tells us that God will transform our mind. And He transforms our mind by directing our minds to the Word of God and to the promises of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 26 and 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Did you hear that? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When our mind is directed to the Lord, when our mind is directed to the Word of God, the Bible says, great Peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law. Don't let the devil fill your mind with thoughts of defeat. Don't let him deny the promises of God. Keep your mind on the Word of God. Meditate upon the Lord and upon the Word of God, and great peace will keep your mind and heart. My son Kyle went through a period of having panic attacks. And he'd call me up sometimes at night, late at night. Daddy, I'm dying. I'm dying. And he really thought he was. And so I'd talk to him. I'd say, Kyle, I'd start telling him the promises of God. I'd just go over Scriptures and the Word of God, quoting the promises of God for a long time. He's quoting the promises of God. God said this. The Word of God says this. The Bible says this. After a while, he just calmed down under the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. The Word of God has power. And peace is forfeited by the sinner because God is not in all his thoughts, the Word says. So he forfeits peace because God is not in all of his thoughts. Hey, listen. Discipline your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Discipline your mind. Direct your thoughts to holy things. Direct your thoughts to the living God. Direct your thoughts to the Word of God and to His promises. And great peace have they which love the law of the Lord. Thirdly, we obtain this peace of God through faith and trust in God. The psalmist said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. I'll lay me down in peace and sleep, because thou, Lord, you make me dwell in safety. Now, some of you were terrified at night. You ever heard anything go bump in the house? And you just knew somebody was after you. Well, I guess we've all been there, you know. Jump out of the bed, or else cower in the bed and run. You know, my wife, she stays in the bed, and I run to the downstairs to see what's going on and who's got in and what's going on. But you know, there is a promise given to us. The Lord is our keeper. He's our shade on our right hand. He never sleeps nor slumbers. And I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, and whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm chapter 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Listen to this. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Brother, we have peace when we trust in God. Whatever our circumstances are, God gives us peace. The darkest day of my life, riding down the road, complaining to my wife, telling her all the bad things It was weighing upon my mind and heart, wondering if I'd ever climb out of this valley. Darkness shrouded my life. And my wife, bless her heart, trying to encourage the preacher, trying to help him going down the road. And I look off to my left, and there's a billboard with the words printed on it, "Hope thou in God." Brother, my wife said, "The Lord just spoke to you." I said, "I know the Lord just spoke to me on a billboard on a highway that I almost never go down. And there was this billboard that God had somebody to put up there because he knew Bill Prescott would be traveling down that road, shrouded in the darkness of despair. And God said, 'Hope thou in God.'" Brother, I knew where that came from. I knew the psalm said, "Why art thou cast down within me, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance." Hallelujah. Praise God. We can hope in God. This is our peace, brother. When darkness has shrouded our life, we can hope in God. We will again rejoice in God who is the health of our countenance. Oh, glory. This is our peace. We trust in God in the darkness of our lives. And then finally, we obtain this peace through the ministry of the Spirit of God. In this very chapter that I read to you, my text, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I'm going to give you another comforter, one like unto myself. I have been your comforter, but I'm going to give you another comforter, one with the same qualifications I've got. I'm going to give you another comforter, the Holy Ghost, and he will abide with you forever." Brother, this is how we obtain the peace of God. There is something inside of us, a power not of us. There's something inside of us that when the devil rises up against us, there's something inside of us rises up against the devil. Praise God. Old Brother Wilson from out in the western part of the state, I believe. Somebody said, he said that the power of the Holy Ghost in a man, it's the same kind of thing that would make a jackrabbit stand up in the face of a grizzly bear and spit in his face. I'm telling you, brother, when the devil comes after you and the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, there's a power inside of you that answers the challenge of hell. I'll give you another comforter. I'm going to give you someone who will be your advocate. I'm going to give you somebody who will reinforce you. I'm going to give you somebody who will provide power for you. I'm going to give you my peace. When my parents died, both of them in a car accident, brother, that was quite a blow for me. You never dreamed such a thing would ever happen. My parents were godly people. Holiness preacher. My dad pastored all of his adult life practically, had just retired from the ministry, from pastoring, 81 years old. He was so devoted to his work for the Lord. We had a 50th wedding anniversary for them. And there at his church. And so they were giving Mama and Daddy a chance to say something, you know, had all these people there and all this celebration, and giving Mama and Daddy a chance to say something. And then Mama said something maybe about Daddy, and they gave Daddy a chance to get up, and he's around 80 years old, and he gets up, and he don't say anything about Mama. Now, he loves my Mama. Oh, my, he really loved my Mama. But he said, "I've been pastoring for 52 straight years.
and went on talking about how he'd preached and pastored all these years, and then sat down. And we're celebrating 50 years of wedding anniversary. But this was important to him. The preaching the gospel was important to him. My, it was so important to him. And he just retired. They're going back to their church that he retired from for revival service. Have a car accident almost inside of the church, and both of them died. I get the call. Mama's dead. A few hours later, call. Daddy's dead. And I tell you, brother, it really hit me hard. I asked my brother-in-law, I said, did my daddy know that my mama was dead? He said he didn't know it, but he knows it now. There's been a reunion. Well, I got in my car and went down there. And we got the funeral together, the arrangements together. They'd left some arrangements, and we followed their desires. And I went to the funeral that Sunday afternoon. Many of you were there. I've never been in a funeral like it in my life. Never saw anything like it in my life. Power of God fell in that funeral. There's a young man come out of that choir, dancing down through the middle of that church. People shouting, glorifying God, speaking in tongues. And it was like a camp meeting service. And I felt the power of the Holy Ghost worshiping the Lord in that service. You talk about God relieving a man. And I'd already been in service that morning at my brother-in-law's church while I was waiting on the funeral. They had church. They was going to have Sunday school, and they had church. Power of God fell in that Sunday school. People filled the altars praying and seeking God. Two people testified to getting saved. And I'd come into that funeral with the power of God. The power of God fell in that funeral. Holy Ghost came down, comforted my heart and the hearts of the saints of God. I come back to this church, and for probably close to a year, it seemed like the Holy Ghost was just hovering about this place every time we met together. The Lord just picked me up and carried me through those months and weeks. It was unnatural, brother. I'm telling you, it was unnatural. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. There was a peace in my heart. There was a peace that the Holy Ghost brought to my heart. Hallelujah. And sustained me through the most difficult time of my life. It was the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Brother, I want to tell you, this peace of God can be yours this very day. Now, I know that there are physical problems. I know that there are genetic problems. I know that there are people that struggle with things that are not of a spiritual nature. I know that. But I'm telling you that most of our problems are spiritually related. And because we are not doing what the Bible says, calling on the name of the Lord in the time of trouble, casting our cares upon Him, bringing our burdens to the altar and leaving it in the hands of the Lord. Hallelujah. Trusting in Him in difficult times and experiencing the ministry of the Holy Ghost in our lives like God would like to do it. I'm telling you, brother, there is a peace that is given to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, it is your heritage as a child of God. Now I want to give an altar call this morning, Sister Judy. I want to give an altar call this morning because I know that there are people in this congregation right here this morning. There are people, perhaps young people, in this congregation right here that are troubled in mind and heart. You're troubled for one reason, because there's guilt in your heart and life. And you will never know the peace of God until you make peace with God. But if you will come to this altar this morning and surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ and make peace with God, you can experience the peace of God that passes. passeth all understanding. It will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. You won't have to go back to the bottle anymore. You won't have to shoot up the drugs anymore. You can say goodbye to the drug crowd. You can say goodbye to the beer hall. Jesus will be all you need. He will give you the peace that passeth all understanding. I'm sure that there are people in this house this very day. You are a saved child of God, but you're not enjoying what Jesus bequeathed to you, the peace of God. My peace, Jesus says. You're not enjoying that. But you can have that because it is a heritage promised to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If that black cloud of despair is hovering over you and you can't seem to get through, and it looks like that all you can think is negative thoughts, and all you can talk about is negative things, and the promises of God seem very dim and far from you and out of reach, God wants to bring them within your reach this very morning. Scatter the dark clouds in your life. Let the sun shine through again and convince you that the peace of God is yours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's stand together.